welcome to another installment of Geekly Debates. This is Taylor.
Jules.
Gomer. And there's other people going to chime in.
Probably.
Yeah, hopefully.
It's a broad topic.
It's a given.
A broad topic.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest in this one this week because we're doing best Western hand-drawn animated movies. That's probably the most adjectives we've used
yes,
for one debate
lot,
topic.
That's a handful of words.
Well,
best,
I think there's an important...
Movie
we should make this
pretty wordy.
Worst movie?
Yeah, remember?
Best cheesy movie?
Best cheesy movie. That's
cheesy
what
well, that's
movie.
That's only... Well, I feel like
that's
best
two.
Just goes without saying.
Yes.
But then, like, cheesy is just one.
Yeah. Cheesy okay, 80s movie. That's two, possibly. But yeah, this is best animated Western feature-length film.
FYI, I'm Lawrence of America, and you heard David.
Oh, yeah. Lawrence of America, and David's here.
Probably going to be the chimers.
They're going to be our chimers.
Chimers.
So start it off, Taylor, because I love your pick.
Yeah, well, Jules is going to give me crap about it, but I'm actually going.
Crap about this.
I'm going to go with The Lion King.
Stop. I love The Lion King. It's probably my favorite Disney movie of all time.
It is probably the best Disney movie,
we
just like pound
watched
for pound.
I watched that in school like three times.
Because it's Hamlet with less death.
Yeah, it's
so
Hamlet
boring.
With less death. It's great.
It's an engaging plot that can be enjoyed equally by kids and adults. And yes, the music is a big part of it. Especially when we're talking about Disney movies where, like, people.
Well, no,
the only reason you watch Little Mermaid is for the songs.
Well,
the only reason you watch various. Like, Mulan is probably most famous for its songs.
Yeah.
Disney movies are just about the songs. And
they're musicals.
Lion King is the best of that batch.
Yeah.
It's the best of one of the most prolific animation studios that it's ever existed.
I mean, agreed.
And honestly,
totally agree.
Hakuna Matata is just a fun song.
Well, yeah, there's fun songs. There's like sweeping epic songs. There's like romantic songs.
And of course, how much,
And that ties into the plot as well. There's
Circle of Life. It was
a top 10.
It was at least a top 40 hit,
Now, I mean.
And then the animation.
Yeah, the animation
it's
is a very
Disney
high quality
animation.
This isn't like the
pioneering
days of like Snow
their...
White or Cinderella, where it doesn't age too terribly well. Lion King still stands up pretty well today. It ages quite gracefully.
Oh, it's epic! The beginning when all these animals are getting together at the beginning, and they have these huge sweeping landscape scenes. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's amazing, and it's been digitally mastered in Blu-ray, and I've seen it on my big screen, and it takes your breath away.
It's got
it's
an
amazing.
Epic scope, a solid plot, and it's a very evocative film.
Yes. Love it, man.
So, okay, go ahead and talk shit.
Well, go ahead and talk shit.
Okay, so
I want to hear Jules talk shit.
Okay, here's the thing. I talk shit all the time.
I know, but I want to hear you talk shit on this pick, because I don't know how you're going to do it.
How I'm going to do it?
Yeah. It's talking animals, right?
It's talking animals,
yeah. It's so much different than talking robots that change into cars. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, as far as animation goes, it's not like incredible detail.
Oh,
very
you know who was voicing
character.
Some of those talking
for
animals? James Earl Jones.
Yeah, I know.
The best voice actor ever.
I get it. And he dies halfway through the movie. Spoiler alert.
James Earl Jones almost has it as bad as Sean Bean because if we're counting him as Vader, he dies.
Yeah,
if we're counting Mufasa dies.
And doesn't he die in Field of Dreams?
I don't even remember.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think he does. I think he dies toward the end.
He doesn't die in Sandlot. That's the only one I can think of.
Well, did y'all see him on Big
Unless you count like
the
Flash Forward?
He did probably two or three episodes before the end of the season, he did a Big Bang, an episode where Sheldon got denied tickets to Comic-Con for the first time ever, so he tries to hold his own Comic-Con, and the only guest he can get to show up is James Earl Jones.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's like, we're going to party like madmen, and they just go on this wild, crazy night. Or
I would love hanging out.
I would love to hang out.
Yeah, that would be fun.
But
talk smack on Lion King.
Talking smack on Lion King. You take away, and I'll give you the pretty colors, but it's a flashy gimmick for not incredible animation. I'm talking, of all the things,
like
Aladdin is a more impressive animated movie than The Lion King.
What criteria are you using?
Yeah, for
and just I'm talking about the backgrounds, the character design.
I think you need to go back and watch Lion King.
I have seen The Lion King.
Okay,
I'll
give you that there's
it's
not
a Disney
lot of,
movie.
There's not a lot of, like,
do it.
There's not a lot of grand character design that it's going to go into the lions. I'll grant you that.
Yeah, it's just animals. Yes. But they look like animals.
That's what I'm saying. In
lemurs
my
look
state,
like lemurs.
And they better animate.
The warthogs look like warthogs.
But that being
the
said,
the Snodsberries taste like Snodsberries.
The lions, like Mufasa is like grand and majestic, and Scar is like brawny and, like, conniving looking. So yeah. Even within, like, the confines of them being just lions, they even managed to work in some character design there.
I mean, like, totally. It's a good animated film, but I wouldn't call it the best.
That's the
one.
Fucking topic.
That's the
today.
Topic. No, that's the best. Best. And in my opinion,
go ahead.
Picking from the myriad of Disney animated features.
Oh, you're going to pick a Disney.
No, I'm not going to pick a Disney. Okay. I'm just saying, of all the Disney pictures right. You could have picked.
Now, is this hand-drawn animation?
Yes. Hand-drawn animation.
I hate to break it to you. They use computer animation on Lion King.
Oh. Booyah Shaka Khan. Oh, Booyah Shaka Khan.
But it's not... It's drawing a distinction, not but okay. If you use a computer to help with the editing, whatever process,
half
that's
of it
different.
Was done in the computer.
Well, I think
still, like, oh, the stand
you're not doing like
the stand,
three.
The,
yes,
the, yeah.
The
like,
distinction here.
Scenes were completely.
The distinction
the
is
computer.
That it's not completely 3D models.
Yeah,
that it's not like completely. It's not like Frozen
Pixar,
or Pixar yeah. or Toy Story or something.
Yeah,
like
okay, fair we, enough.
Yeah,
because the so, wildebeest it would be too difficult to do by
because
hand.
Because we're gonna have to roll out every movie that came out in the last 20 fucking
we would.
Years.
We would have to roll
no
out
computer
a lot
work
of
at all
because yeah. They use computers. Because
even the my pick has out. One CG.
Yeah, my pick does have some CG effects as well. Not many, but
not many,
there's
but yeah.
One. Well, let me go with my pick.
Yeah, let's go with your pick.
My pick is one of the favorite movies of my childhood. It's one of the first movies I remember begging my parents to let me go see in the movies. And it was Transformers 1986. The budget for this movie was five times that of what they would normally allot for just a half hour. Every half hour they gave to the TV show, they gave that like five times.
Right.
The very first scene, you could tell the budget goes into it with Unicron going through space and just amazing effects. The voiceovers for this, Orson Welles, Judd Nelson,
Leonard Nimoy,
freaking Nimoy,
Robert
Stack, John Machida, the Micro Machines dude, just... They went all out for this.
What is the name of the Micro Machines?
Joe, I think it's Joe. Joe Machido? John Machido?
Either Joe or Joe.
Yeah. Well, I figured as the voice guy, you would know his name. But anyway, awesome story. A lot of adult themes in this for a child, you know, story. But the only thing I would take away from it, if I'm going to, you know, be devil's advocate, the only reason this movie came out is so they could sell more toys.
Yeah.
But that was why all the G.I. Joe and Transformers cartoons
I'll grant
came
you,
out, so
yeah,
they
it's
could sell
the
toys.
Best toy commercial that's ever been.
It's the greatest toy commercial ever. And ever. Although they never made a Unicron figure. In 2003, you know, almost 20 years after.
Yeah, exactly. Way after.
Yeah. Awesome effects. There's one 3D computer animated, and that's when Unicron is changing Megatron and his crew into the Sweeps and Galvatron. And
you're dead without a name.
Cyclonus
and the
Cyclonus
Sweeps.
Galvatron. Yeah.
Actually, there was a Unicron
Scourge.
Figure made.
Get closer, man.
Yeah, get closer,
there
David.
There was a Unicron figure made, but it never made it past prototype.
Yeah, it was very flimsy arms, very
the
shoddy.
Broke
work.
Off
yeah,
all the time.
The wings broke off. Very shoddy construction. They really wouldn't be able
There's
to sell that.
There's a lot of that. Bus created of him before that figure was created.
Yeah. But yeah, it's by far, in my opinion, the best animated movie. Because it's an action movie. There's no singing. It doesn't take... Not that there's anything wrong with singing, but...
If the Transformers had bursted out in the song, you're right. I totally
agree
with
that. Oh, yeah,
that
would have been terrible.
But, like, it depends on what movie they're trying to make.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Singing was perfectly appropriate in Lion King,
exactly.
And it would not have been in Transformers.
You totally agree. Totally agree.
If you were to say on YouTube there was a movie, a Transformers musical, I'd watch it.
Oh, I'd watch it, too.
I'd watch it, but I wouldn't want to go in 1986 to sit down and watch this movie, and then all of a sudden Optimus Prime bursts out into a ballad.
Yeah.
FYI, a quick IMDb search... Lion King is considered the highest grossing hand-drawn film of all time.
Awesome.
All right, so fuck you.
Yeah, awesome.
Titanic is also one of the highest grossing films ever. It's a terrible film.
Yeah.
20 minutes of CG animation.
One last thing about Transformers before we get to Jules' pick. I left out the best part of the movie, the soundtrack. By far,
this is the best part.
It's so good. I shouldn't love it as much as I do.
Minus
but
the redid intro. It
perfectly captures the 80s.
It does. It perfectly captures the decade. But yeah, there you go. Best ever.
Well, saying something's the best of the 80s is like saying that's my favorite STD.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that.
Just saying.
But, okay, Jules had a pick, too.
Yeah.
And no negative picks on Transformers, no negative.
Well,
back
to Tom.
Okay. Oh, Adam's chiming in.
Adam's chiming in.
I love the Transformers. Comes out of nowhere. More than anyone else.
Yes.
But the animation of that movie is terrible.
It's kind of blocky.
Well, Transformers 80s cartoon.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a little bit of a product of the age. We hadn't really refined it.
Even then, back in the 80s, there were still movies that had decent animation.
But you have
it can't be the best animated movie terrible animation.
I don't think the animation is terrible throughout. I think those first few shots of Unicron going through space, him destroying that planet... The fight in Autobot City.
Here it is, up to you
get to the planet of junk.
Yeah.
Then it starts. The animation starts dripping away a little bit.
I'm going to say about the movie that the first half of the movie is incredible as far as the animation. The fight.
Edge of your seat.
Optimus from and Megatron
the very
is awesome.
First minute.
Up until Optimus and Megatron's death, the movie is wonderful.
Yeah.
And then it turns to Transformers Heavy Metal 2000.
Yes.
And it gets
a little bit
really skimpy on the drawing.
Yeah.
Galvatron is a weaker design, and just Ultra Magnus is a rough-looking character. Rodimus Prime, everything. Gets
I like Rodimus. Hatchback.
You like the hatchback?
I didn't mind
the
hatchback.
I think Rodimus is a better character. I like Rodimus.
Then then Ultra Magnus.
But I do
definitely.
I do think the last fight, the end fight between the Autobots, Decepticons, and Unicron. They put a little bit more effort into the
animation. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's that lull in the middle of the movie.
There is a lull
where
of quality.
The animation gets, like, skimpy.
Yeah, it's like they said, we gotta hurry up and get
there. Yeah, like the... What's Hot Rod and the other guy? What was his name?
Cup.
Rod. What?
Cup.
Okay, Cup.
Yes, that whole sequence
is so overdrawn.
Cup is great.
No, Cup's
Cup.
Awesome. Overdrawn? No.
No, I mean not overdrawn. I mean, like, it draws out.
The one after they crash on Quintessa?
Yes.
Or the one where they fight the Shocktacons?
The Shocktacon pit was a great scene.
The Quintessa was rough.
Mm. Awesome fight music with that, too. Action. Yeah. 80s
now,
action fight music.
I haven't,
go ahead, Larry.
Watch the movie.
You haven't seen Transformers from the 80s? I should have brought my copy.
I was a very mature child and did not care for Transformers.
Okay.
But the fact that you just used the word Sharktacon,
dude,
I think, is a negative argument for you.
Really?
When we're sitting here and you guys are spouting out Rodimus Prime, Cup, and all these ridiculous sounding names, it's kind of hard to take out of context. We all have the context, Larry, but even we have to admit, it sounds pretty goddamn ridiculous.
Really, the only negative thing I can say at it is the Dinobots were reduced to comedic.
The comedy relief.
I don't remember the Dinobots being anything but comedy.
They were. The very beginning, they weren't comedy.
Yeah, they were supposed to be badasses, kicking asses.
Yeah, and that's probably my problem with the entire film is the opening sequence. Or just the opening 20 minutes, the Autobots are the ultimate ass kickers. They ruined the Decepticons in the opening scenes of the movie.
Yeah, I mean,
the Decepticons pretty much ruined the
Decepticons,
they're supposed to have the advantage.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They kill everybody.
Everybody dies.
Bumblebee, he makes it out.
Yeah, just Bumblebee.
Ironhide.
We should probably move on to the next pick.
Yeah, let's move. Okay. We can talk about Transformers.
We spent like 4 hours talking about Transformers.
Okay.
Now... if we're going to do the best or my favorite...
It's best.
In our opinion, best.
Yeah, in your opinion, best.
You know.
Well, Lion King isn't even my favorite Disney movie, let alone my favorite animated.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know...
But Western.
Honestly, yes. Now, out of all animes, my favorite and what I consider the best...
Yeah.
Or Western. It is Wizards... by Ralph Bakshi.
I don't think I've ever seen it. It would have been a shame if we didn't get a Ralph Bakshi pick on here.
Yeah, now, I mean, it's a close tie for The Lord of the Rings.
The Hobbit
original? Well, it was The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. But he originally did The Lord of the Rings and then went back and did The Hobbit.
Yes.
And, of course, that was in 1972 that he did that. And it took 30 years for somebody else to even try and make any kind of feature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, and in the 70s, that made $40 million.
Wow.
All right, so...
respectable.
And, you know, that was, like, my first exposure to The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Transformers didn't even make its budget back. That was, like,
my favorite movie growing up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Maybe that would be the last one.
Wizards... it came out right along Star Wars, so it's overshadowed. But it has a message.
Wait, what's it about?
It's original plot.
I have no idea.
Okay, after the end of the world, those that have survived, you know, a human society is pretty much wiped out. And you got mythical beasts, and there's two brothers, which are wizards.
Like magical wizards. Right. Okay.
And they go into a war. One of them has resurrected, basically, the technology of propaganda.
Okay.
And the art of war and the blitzkrieg. And he decides to try and take over the world. That's the basic premise.
All right, so it's got an underlying social message, too.
Right. So there's a message to it, and there's some parody. Now, also... Now, and at the time, this is one of the very few non-all-ages animated features. Now,
this is adults only, right? Or PG-13, maybe.
No, it was rated R.
Oh, okay.
Almost all of Bocchi's movies were rated R or worse.
It's been a while since I've seen
it. Like Fitz the Cat.
It was for its time quite violent. Yeah.
I've seen that.
He takes very adult games on.
He is... You know, the first person to actually do adult animated movies. I'm not talking pornographic.
Just some adult stuff.
Just stuff not aimed for kids.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and of course he did tons of, like, Fritz the Cat was a comic book. You know, so he was one of the dominating forces for manga and comics, you know, aimed at adults. And the first
one—it was just
one,
natural.
For the first one to bring it to a full-length feature.
Yeah,
and in fact, he self-funded most of Fritz the Cat because nobody believed it could be done.
Yeah,
that was the movie that allowed the way for animated movies and cartoons to be aimed.
I'll give it to you for influence. I'll give it to you all the. Yeah. I'll give it a lot of credit for being a labor of love, but
best
in terms of best, animation's come a long way.
Is kind of bad, but War Wizards, I think as a movie, it is very. Yeah. The animation is still pretty good.
I'd have to find this movie.
But it is 70s animation. It's completely 100% hand-drawn.
I'm cool with that.
With a staff of 12 people.
I went back and watched Heavy Metal recently, and I thought it stood up. I enjoyed it.
Heavy Metal still stands
up. Yeah, I loved it.
And he was one of the first people to do rotoscoping, which is something... He actually...
A scanner darkly, if you don't know what rotoscoping is.
Basically, he did that out of necessity.
Yeah.
He pretty much invented a technique to do that.
Nice.
Because he ran out of money.
And needed
animated. To draw cells. Yeah. So he literally basically had a Xerox machine, and that's how he did a lot of the background for some of the cells.
I haven't seen it.
And it's a great movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Cool. Good choice.
As a movie, I think it holds up pretty well. Sheer animation skills, yes, we have come a long way since then.
Yeah.
But it's still a very finely crafted movie.
Awesome.
Well written.
A lot of love went into it.
Good plots, good dialogue. Yeah. You know, it hits a lot of grounds on a good movie.
All right, Jules got a pick.
Yeah, we've been skipping Jules for a while.
We have. I'm still not quite sure what his pick is.
My pick, in my opinion, is not only one of the best animated movies, but in my opinion, one of the best superhero movies ever made. And I chose Batman: Mask of the Phantasm.
I knew what you were saying as soon as you said superhero.
Because it's a very underrated pick in that
it
it's
is.
A phenomenal feature. It tells easily one of the best Batman stories.
Yeah.
And is really not for children as well. It's a very adult film.
Really, weren't you saying that your kids were scared watching it?
My kids were scared watching the Batman Beyond Joker Return of the
Joker. That was almost my pick, because that is also...
I actually think that's a better Batman animated film.
But as far as animation goes...
I'm not sure.
I go with the Batman done on black paper. And Batman Mask of the Phantasm was done on black paper to give it that. It's just that grim,
that look.
Dark, noir. Yeah. The soundtrack is incredible. it gives you kind of a different Joker background.
Yeah.
The whole him being a
mobster.
It
definitely was the epitome of all that animation style that started with, you know,
with Bruce,
the Batman
Bruce
animated
Timms.
Series. Yes. Yeah, all that
stuff. It was
stuff.
His big movie. And it's a phenomenal film. The ending sequence between Batman and the Joker in the World's Fair, fighting in the mini Gotham,
kind of
an homage to Godzilla and King Kong. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a beautiful looking feature.
I can't say anything bad about it, except I just like other movies better. But it is a good.
It nails just, to me, the whole Batman feel.
Yeah.
Unlike the Nolan films or the Schumacher films or the Burton films, he's a good detective who gets the job done and fights the villain. And is almost even shamed in this movie by the villain, the Phantasm, who is a killer who resembles Batman.
Yeah.
Who is someone who has relations to Batman. It's a really interesting pick. That was the first time where what is assumed to be a male character is not. For me as a kid. I thought that was...
Oh, for you, sure, okay.
For me,
That's not the first time that ever happened.
As a kid,
it was... I'm not a big Metroid fan.
Huge Metroid fan. But as a movie, it was the first time I saw when they pulled the Phantasm's mask off, the fact that it was her.
Yeah.
Blew my mind as a kid.
I'd have to say the voice acting in that is amazingly well done.
Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy.
To this day, for me, the definitive Joker and Batman.
The voices I hear when I'm reading those characters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, what's his name? Does the voice of the mob boss in that movie? Abe Vigoda.
Oh, yeah.
Abe Vigoda
does the late, great
Abe Vigoda does the mob boss in that movie. It's just, it's a cool film.
Yeah.
The animation's incredible.
Yeah. I like it as an animated film. I just have to say that the Batman
and
Beyond
critically
Return
acclaimed.
Of the Jokers.
Critically
it
acclaimed.
Is good.
It's Siskel
scary,
Ebert
dude.
Loved
scary.
That film, actually. That's actually how I convinced my dad to go take me to see it.
Yeah.
Siskel and Ebert said, hey, I don't know if you've seen this movie yet, but it's incredible.
Awesome.
And in their opinion, the best animated film of the 90s.
That's a solid pick. And like Gomer, I don't really have some sort of like glaring flaw that I can point to. I'll just say that like pound for pound, there are other movies that I think are like have greater strengths to them. Like, I've seen movies that have, like, crisper, more fluid animation.
No, I like that nitty-gritty. I just feel like the animation works to the appeal of the story. And that it's a noir story.
Agreed.
And it's one of the few movies where I feel like the animation style adapts to the ambiance of the film.
It's like, there's a lot of media that's like that.
Yeah,
it's like
a noir film.
Like, no, I know...
Like, the dark shadows adapt to the story.
I know, reboot the original cartoon. Mm-hmm. It's a cartoon, and it's crappy animation, but CG standard, by today's standard.
It blew my mind when it first
came out.
It's like impossible to watch now.
Realistically, it's
Wars isn't as bad.
It fits with the story, so, I mean, I could definitely see that, you know.
Yeah. Any other picks around the table?
I got a pick. I don't know how many of you might have seen it, but American Pop.
I haven't seen it.
Another, is that also Ralph Bakshi?
Yeah. It's basically a generational story of one family.
Okay.
Essentially, every character in this family that they focus on has some kind of musical talent.
Okay.
And it's been a long time since I've seen it, but it starts off with like somebody coming here to America as a kid. He learns how to play a musical instrument, gets married, has a kid. That kid goes on to fight in World War II. He plays piano, and in a moment, he's playing a piano, a German soldier comes up, and for just that moment, they have just a moment.
Okay.
It tells
a generational story.
Oh, that sounds cool, man.
Kind of a history through
sort of little
music.
Vignettes tied together.
If I had to describe it, the best way I could describe it is it's essentially a generational story that works like Forrest Gump. Where it's events in American history with somebody at those events, because they have a crappy band, and Jimi Hendrix is opening for a crappy band in like Kansas.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a.
Yeah, that sounds interesting as hell.
And it really is a good movie. It was a cult classic.
It sounds like it.
I haven't
great.
Seen it in years, so I'm just going off what I remember seeing.
I'm gonna have to find that.
That is actually one of the first animated movies I saw. You know, of course. Like, the order, the animated movies, the first movie I saw was Heavy Metal. Then American Pop. Then Akira, the Ninja Scroll.
Yeah, Akira started.
I always felt that American Pop was closer to like the animation style of like heavy metal.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And that's because
dancing around heavy metal a lot.
We are dancing
well, heavy
around
metal
it.
Is directly influenced by Bocchi. I mean, yeah, his stuff.
Definitely.
I mean, they definitely. So definitely. It's still the hand-drawn style, and it's the problem with heavy metal. Really, is it's kind of like Creepshow. It's not really one story.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about this green orb, but not really.
Right,
the green orb's just a prop to
exactly.
To really, is it a Maltese Falcon, a MacGuffin?
Right, so kind of, but not really. It's just a bunch of vignettes.
Well, it's just
small stories. The styles change from story to story.
Exactly.
Well, here's the thing: Heavy Metal was a magazine, and a magazine that featured short stories and comics.
Yeah, they still have it.
And still is. Yeah.
Well, and doesn't Eastman own that?
I'm not sure.
Eastman and Lord,
possibly,
but. It was a sci-fi magazine / fantasy magazine. And
yeah.
Every
and there
month,
was art.
Yeah, there was art. It would be there'd be small stories.
Yeah.
Ongoing prose.
Yeah.
Ongoing comic stories.
And they still have it.
And they still have it to this day. Yeah. And so the movie was an animated version of the magazine in that there was different stories.
Well, except for they tried to tie them. They forced them all together.
Well, that was just
that was the that's the problem. If they would have just been.
Little
vignettes. It would have made sense, like the Creepshow movie. You know, one guy telling multiple stories.
Yeah,
they could have got away with that. But instead of the way they worked them together is the inherent flaw.
Yeah, there's an awesome story about what World War I or World War II bombers crashed and all these gruesome skeletons. Beautiful.
Oh,
it has
nothing
to do with the green orb. Nothing at all.
The green orb's what brought them back.
They throw it in there.
Yeah.
They just toss like this green orb in there, like, oh yeah, here's a green orb story, but. Oh, loved it. John Candy in that movie. Like four or five different roles in that.
He was like, wasn't he like the...
He was one of the aliens.
The
he was the savage,
he was in almost every story.
Yeah,
he is. He's in every story.
Yeah.
Good one.
Now, FYI, you did make a reference comparing American Pop to Forrest Gump. For the listeners' records, American Pop came out 11 years before Forrest Gump.
Yeah, but
before the movie or the book?
Yeah, he's just saying that it's.
If I had to describe it to somebody,
I'm not sure when that came out.
No, I'm just saying if I had to describe it to somebody, it would be like a Forrest Gump type movie.
Oh yeah.
It's not everyone
else. Let's see. the American Pop came out in 1981.
Yeah.
I'm not sure when the Forrest Gump.
I don't think I've seen it in like 10, 15 years. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen it.
There's
I can't
a lot
even
out
find
here.
It on DVD.
The actual Forrest Gump novel came out in 1986.
Oh yeah,
okay.
It's still before.
Yeah, there's a lot of ones we missed. Persepolis, James and the Giant Peach, Titan A.E.
One of my
go ahead, Larry.
I might have mentioned Iron Giant.
Iron Giant.
But was Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Good. Mary Poppins. For that, about that same alley, you know, animation and live action together.
It was a nice mix, and it was definitely one of the earlier mixes.
Yeah.
And I remember it was a big deal. The guy who played Mario, played the main detective for one.
Bob Hoskins.
The late, great.
You know, originally they wanted to get Bill Murray to play that character.
Yeah.
But because Bill Murray doesn't have an agent or... Only a,
they couldn't get
he only has an 800 number,
and
so he didn't get to check his messages in time.
Yeah,
even
find out about that.
Even if it's just a crossover, it's pretty impressive. They have Warner Brothers, they have Disney.
Oh yeah,
it
was a huge deal at the time,
and it was
I'll
a deal that
forget.
They had to have equal amount of screen time.
Yes,
so to make up for that, they put all the characters in the same scenes together.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny and Mickey, Donald Duck and
Daffy,
all are in the same scenes.
And Betty Boop got in there too.
Yeah. Yeah, the secret.
She
of
actually had a pretty prominent role.
Yeah,
if you think about it.
The Secret of Nim, which was based off of the book Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim, which is actually one of my all-time favorite children's books.
Feifel?
Yeah, Feifel. We talked about that. We talked about that.
American Tail.
The Black Cauldron.
Black Cauldron.
Oh, the Rescuers. Yeah.
Anyone see
the Sword and the Stone?
Oh, that's a good one.
All the Don Bluth stuff, man.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. Actually, Titan A.E.
I used to love Sword and the Stone.
But Titan A.E. had a lot of CG.
It did. It was half and half. But I'm still going to give it that traditional.
It definitely felt more like a traditional anime.
This is kind of a... This isn't a very objective, hard-line way of looking at it, but it's like, if what you're when you're looking at it, in like the dominating visual images are the hand drawn ones.
Yeah,
like with Lion King, like with Titan A.
Yeah.
Then I would count it as hand drawn.
Yeah.
And Titan A.E. had a really good cast too.
Oh, amazing! Oh, Matt Damon, Drew Barrymore,
Bill Paxton.
Yeah. 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 Lots of good people. Ron Perlman, I think, was in that. Yeah, played dude's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's close it out, Taylor. We've been talking about animation for a long time.
We have.
That's probably our longest one.
I'm not sure what length we're up to, but yeah, we had a lot of contributors, and we kept getting off into tangents here. But yeah, that's our Geekly debate for this week. Thank you for listening. Please let us know anything you'd like to hear us talk about, and have a good day.
Thanks.